WXCO 98.9, Wausau's real news and great conversation. Here's your daily news roundup.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Wisconsin residents are speaking out against local sheriff's departments entering partnerships with ICE. Lisa Hale takes us to a committee meeting in Oshkosh last week.
Almost three dozen people attended, and over half as many spoke at the Winnebago County Judiciary and Public Safety Committee Monday night. At issue is the so-called 287G agreement that the sheriff has with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE. All speakers stated that they wanted that agreement terminated. Becky Stubbs was one of the first to speak.
This program doesn't make us safer. It erodes trust, diverts resources, and ties Winnebago County to federal practices that undermine constitutional protections.
Oshkosh resident TJ Hobbs.
When I signed up to serve this country, I took an oath to defend our Constitution against domestic enemies like ICE. This administration will not last forever, and our country's collaboration with ICE will not age well. Please withdraw from the 287G agreement immediately.
Winnebago County Sheriff John Matz explained that the 287G agreement authorizes deputies to serve ICE detainers while individuals are in custody at the jail.
Only the individuals who come to our jail on a criminal charge are the ones that we're reporting to ICE. We don't conduct a traffic stop and ask what country they or if they are here legally. We don't go out and look for individuals at any places of business. That's not happening. There is no intent for that to happen.
Matz did not say that the individuals had been convicted of a crime, only that they were being held on charges.
Chippewa Valley business owners and community leaders are preparing for the 32nd annual Chippewa Valley Rally event this month. James Kelly explains.
Each year, Chambers of Commerce officials from Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Menominee organize teams to travel to Madison and meet with state lawmakers. Scott Rogers is the Senior Director of Governmental Affairs for the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce and explained the goal of the annual event.
The Chippewa Valley Rally is a trip to Madison to talk about economic issues with our lawmakers and other policymakers that's been put on now for 32 years by the Chambers of Commerce in Chippewa Falls, Menominee, and Eau Claire. And what we do is we bring about 100 to 120 business and community leaders to Madison, visit with legislative offices, and talk about the economic issues in state government that affect the economy in our area.
Rogers also highlighted some pending legislation that would specifically address issues facing the Chippewa Valley, like healthcare access and a shortage of affordable housing.
One of the unusual things about this year is even though the legislature is getting close to adjournment, there are a lot of bills in a few key areas that are still pending, including several that would help improve housing supply and affordability, some bills that relate to EMS services and making hospital beds available.
The Chippewa Valley Rally will take place on Thursday, February 19th. Local residents interested in attending can register online with a $99 fee until Wednesday or a $110 fee after Wednesday. For an additional $35 fee, they can also take a round-trip charter bus to Madison and back for the one-day event.
More than 50 cyclists gathered in Hayward last Saturday as part of Unity Rides that happened across the country in memory of Alex Preddy. Maddie Schaefer takes us there.
Preddy was a 37-year-old ICU nurse who lived in the Minneapolis area and was active in the local cycling community. His death last month at the hands of federal immigration agents has sparked memorial rides nationwide. Riders met at New Moon Bike and Ski before heading to the Hayward Hospital trails on fat tire bikes to take part in the memorial ride. Among them was a local nurse, Susan Bauer. She wore a shirt that read, "United We Stand, Divided We Fall," with the names Alex Preddy and Renee Good printed on it.
I decided to ride because I stand in solidarity with the people of Minnesota and across the United States who are protesting against the overreach of our government and their activities, their immigration enforcement activities.
Bauer says seeing video of Preddy's death was traumatic.
Just seeing this from our own government killing one of our own citizens was just too much. And it was the same reaction with Renee Good. It was just outright murder, in my opinion.
She says unity is especially important during times like this.
We have a democracy, and it's the duty of people to speak out if they see our government not representing us in the way that we expect them to.
Thomas Thornquist from Minneapolis says he wanted to show support and honor Preti.
Like Minneapolis is doing now, they're showing that when people unite for the right reasons, it makes a difference and change can happen.
The ride was one of many held across the country to remember Preti and bring cyclists together in solidarity.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The minimum wage in Wisconsin is $7.25 an hour. For tipped workers like restaurant servers, it's $2.33 an hour. Now, some Wisconsin Democrats are proposing raising the state's minimum wage to $20 an hour by 2030. State Senator Kelda Royes, who's also running for governor, said in a press conference that at least a million workers can't afford basic needs like housing, childcare, or health care. Sabrina Prochaska, who works in the service industry, said her pay is $15.81 per hour. And it isn't enough, especially as the cost of living and health care costs are rising. The proposed bill would increase the state minimum wage to $15 an hour immediately. It would then increase $1.25 each year until 2030, when it would reach $20 an hour. The measure is unlikely to advance during this legislative session. Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit. This one is over federal changes to the childhood vaccine schedule. Attorney General Josh Call joins the governor of Pennsylvania and attorneys general from 14 other states in the suit that challenges the Trump administration's decision to remove several vaccines, including rotavirus, hepatitis A and B, and COVID-19. State health leaders report responding to measles cases in 2025 and 2026, including 36 in late 2025. Officials say all of those cases involved unvaccinated people. Speaking of the highly contagious viral infection called measles, numerous Wisconsin health organizations are encouraging vaccination after recent confirmed cases in the state. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz reports.
All individuals eligible for vaccination should confirm their vaccination status by reviewing their records or by receiving the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, commonly called the MMR vaccine. Cases have been increasing across North America recently, largely due to decrease in immunization rates in children after the disease was considered eliminated for decades. It spreads through the air when an infected person coughs or breathes and can linger for up to 2 hours. It is so contagious that approximately 9 in 10 unvaccinated individuals exposed to the virus can be expected to develop infection. While most people with measles experience high fever, cough, runny nose, red eyes, and eventually a diffuse rash, it can lead to more serious issues like pneumonia, brain swelling, and even death. Complications are more common in younger and older individuals, as well as those with compromised immune systems.
I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin companies are going to court over tariffs tied to President Donald Trump's trade policies. Kohl's, Milwaukee Tool, and several manufacturers want refunds for import taxes they say were collected illegally. The lawsuits don't give dollar figures, but companies argue the tariffs hurt business and created uncertainty. One CEO says most firms just want clear, consistent trade rules. The legal fight comes as new global tariffs are again being debated in Washington. Colorado Congressman Jason Crow visited western Wisconsin on Wednesday, seeking to drum up support for the Democratic candidates who are challenging the incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District. Civic Media's James Kelly was there.
Congressman Crow's town hall at the Chippewa Valley Museum covered a wide range of topics, most notably issues like ensuring veterans are taken care of properly, protecting access to health care, and the effects of tariffs. Asked about some differences between the ways tariffs are affecting Wisconsin residents and residents in his home district, Congressman Crow highlighted soybean farmers.
The soybean farmers have been hit particularly hard by tariffs. You're talking with some of the farm groups have told me that a lot of these farms haven't received orders in 5 months or more, right? And orders are just starting to trickle in. People can't afford that. Family farms simply cannot afford that, and they're going under.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Traveling is set to get a little easier in Wisconsin as bus service is scaled up. The Department of Transportation and operators like Lamers and Greyhound announced updates to the statewide routes, including new connections and more reliable schedules. One of the biggest changes is the addition of a new route between La Crosse and Green Bay. A couple Midwest schools rank first and second among the public universities in the United States in Time Magazine's list of the world's top universities of 2026. The University of Michigan is ninth overall on the list and is the number one public university in the United States. The number two public university in the U.S. and 20th overall worldwide is the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The magazine looked at academic strength, economic impact, innovation, and global engagement as it ranked the top 500 universities across the globe. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. For news anytime, visit our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the Bucks and the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the Boston Celtics tonight. They've got the second best record in the Eastern Conference just behind Detroit. The Bucks with an embarrassing loss yesterday in Chicago, 120-97. The Bulls hadn't won a game since January, an 11-game losing streak. Doc Rivers.
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as the basketball gods, but if there is, he was alive tonight. When you approach the game and play like that, you don't deserve to win. If we had won the game, I'd have been upset. I'd have taken the win because we need it. But that is not how you play basketball.
College hoops, Marquette losing at home to the DePaul Blue Demons, 62-51. The Golden Eagles now 10-19 for the year. Women's hockey in Madison over the weekend. The Wisconsin Badgers beat Bemidji State in overtime, 2-1. Layla Edwards with the winning goal, sending the number one ranked Badgers to the WCHA finals faceoff that begins Thursday in St. Paul with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and it will be warmer today. Our high right around 35 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 25 for a low tomorrow. A little light snow early, then scattered showers a little later with a high tomorrow right around 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
That's your Wausau News Roundup from WXCO. Find more news anytime at WXCO.fm. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts.